Straight Facts Podcast. Starting it off with the breakdown. And you got a couple of topics we wanted to like really delve into, of course. A lot of FBA movements that really been showing true to the game. Let's start it off on some positive, because we got some things to like really delve into. But we do have the first mayor of Montgomery, Alabama, that just got elected into office. Trey, did you want to elaborate a little bit on that accomplishment?
So basically, it's a video recording of a dude who's the mayor. He's the first black mayor, or youngest black mayor, of Montgomery, Alabama, the capital city of Alabama. And what he's doing is, he's basically talking about how, in order to be successful politically in the black belt or the deep south, where it's basically an impoverished black majority, you basically have to cater to the white minority with all the resources, who got all the jobs, who invest all the corporations into the city. You know, he's basically saying that those investments are all the fuck he care about. And he said it based in a very arrogant way, you know, but at the same time, he was telling you the structure that he deals with. But at the same time, you know, so. Y'all hear me?
Yeah. Okay. Another motorcycle?
Nah, my phone was switching from to my little switching mode. But now, but what he was, to me, what he was saying was, it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
Meaning you got a black majority, but you don't have any resource. You have people who work jobs who don't really employ that many, who can't employ that many people with the businesses that they have. So you don't really have a tax base for the city. So that's what he was saying. But at the same time, he's a sleazeball politician, because he knows that that's not something he would have ever told his black constituents. He would have never told them that that's how he felt about the situation, because he knows if he would have said that, then people wouldn't have voted his ass in the first place. You know, the blacks definitely expect him to fight for, you know, us to have something, particularly them down there, you know, to have something worth having, you know, despite, you know, a lack of resources, you know, at least fight for it, you know, but. He was just so arrogant in what he was saying. Now, if he would have said it in a more, you know, considerate way, you know, it would have made sense. But he was a very arrogant, one of them old Southern country, you know, bullshit politician. You know the stereotype.
Yeah. So to me, do it sound like he got like this defeatist mentality already as soon as he got into office?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, he had a defeatist mentality. As the capital city of Alabama, you know, much like Atlanta, you know, the same thing could have been done. The same thing can be done in Montgomery. Atlanta became prosperous to black people because of Mayor Jackson. Mayor Jackson back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, and whatnot. Atlanta became, obviously, after desegregation, there was white flight. So white people left, and the city became blacker. And as it became blacker, blacks became the political and voting base. And as such, you know, blacks started to demand our equal share in the city contract jobs and shit, or the city contracts, period. And for, you know, a decade or so, the whites were withholding, and you know, they try to keep the systemic bullshit up. But Mayor Reed basically threatened to, you know, basically kick them out of the city if they didn't give blacks an equal share or equal proportion of those city contracts. And through that, that's how black people in Atlanta started making money, and that's what made Atlanta the boom town that it is for black people. And with that being said, what dude is talking about is, it has some validity, but it's bullshit, because Mayor Reed shut it down. Mayor Reed proved that in Atlanta. Now, I can't say that Atlanta's situation and Montgomery's situation is the exact same, regard to what they have access to and whatnot, but, you know, his attitude was just shitty, so.
So, I mean, maybe I need more context to the situation, but is it the fact that he is just being upfront and honest about his lack of resources and stability with his position as a mayor? Or is it just the fact that you really feel like he just already has this defeatist mentality? Because in some ways, in some regards, you can already, I can appreciate the honesty of saying that, hey, this is going to be a little bit of a struggle. It's going to be a fight. Or is it just the fact that you feel like he's already cooning it up?
To me, he already had the mindset to coon it up to begin with. So it doesn't seem like he was a person to really trust to get the job done for black people. And, that's not something that, is going to benefit us, obviously. So, he ain't shit for that, in my opinion.
Lou, you had something to say on the topic?
I'm detecting a little bit of a soft shoeing around the fact that this guy represents ancient Boulé. So, like, you guys sound surprised that he exists and that he's this anti-black as a quote unquote black person. But I've been banging on for the last 4 months about how every single aspect of any African population has a Boulé COINTELPRO class for the last few centuries. Caribbean, African, American. Every single continent, everywhere. So I'm a little shocked that you're shocked.
So I jumped the gun a little bit. So it's definitely not an accomplishment. I mean, in some ways, in some regards, but at the same time, if you don't have the context to bring forth, a fight and for your people, then it's not really much to go by there. Go ahead, Trey.
Well, hold on, hold on, hold on. I still need a response from Trey on that. Why is he shocked that this guy is on record 3 years prior, by the way? So this is not even new evidence against him. What is happening here is he's claiming that they recorded him being a white supremacist in black community on tape so that they could then use it as blackmail to get him out of future runnings. So that indicates that they have recordings of every other black politician on tape being anti-black at these same meetings, agreeing with them. So the entire black political class is infiltrated, and they're just all strategically positioning themselves with recordings of them confessing their allegiance to white supremacy. That's what the whole situation is right now. Why are we shocked, though? That's the real question. Like what Trey said about how they reformed Atlanta. To make Atlanta prosperous for black people, they had to act against white supremacy to get that done. Cool. Look at Jackson, Mississippi. Look at Flint, Michigan. Look at Montgomery, Alabama now. So you have three examples that the norm is to not fight white supremacy and watch the entire black community implode politically, financially, economically, whatever you want to call it. It's genocide. As official state policy in each of these states. Why are you shocked?
That's real. That's real. That's real. I mean, it just kind of goes to show it almost doesn't almost make you think about the potential situation, the potential disaster we don't plan properly if we do get a separate state and we don't get a resource base. Meaning we could just be another broke ass African country or a black country if we, don't have a proper revenue source for our municipalities and states and whatnot. That's something to really think
Well,
about.
there you go. Oh, there you go. That's why New Black Media has been banging the drum on reparations, 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 and everybody's dragging their feet, waiting for the genocide to happen first. Like, you don't even need a separate state from white people. Okay, we don't need black people do not need a separate state from white people in any country on earth. That's what the Spartans proved to me, 800 BC. They need white people on a fucking short leash. That's how humanity survives. That's how the ecosystem recovers. That's how everything goes back to the natural order.
But I mean, let's move on to let's keep it within the same context. Who was I ready to move on to? Hold on, because I have kind of lost it.
Well, hold on. We still have to connect the Ukraine situation to this. You do understand that by Jim Crow Joe Biden, that's what New Black Media calls him. That's the correct version of what you call him. He is still sending tens of billions with a B of Black American tax dollars, migrant and native Black tax dollars, to CIA confirmed neo-Nazi groups or just actively Nazi groups within Ukraine. Like, since 2014, the CIA said, don't send them any more of our American money because we think they're just little Hitlers. That's on record. That's public information. Everyone shared that the last 6 months. Cool. The CIA sends money to terrorists. The CIA sends money to drug cartels. The CIA sends money to child rapists. The CIA said not to send the Ukrainian militias any more money. Do you guys comprehend that part?
I mean, I think the Ukraine thing, I think it deserves its own probably segment episode to like really delve into. I don't really want to do too much right now because I do want to understand that we are want to keep on a schedule because I don't want to edit a whole 2 hours because I'll really rant on that. Let me move on. Hold on.
I just need to connect that Ukraine situation to what's happening in Jackson, Mississippi. It's going to cost $2 billion to replace their water treatment facility in the capital of that state. It's a Black demographic in the capital, so because they're sticking to Black genocide, they're saying we can't spare $2 billion. And then Biden, Jim Crow Joe Biden, goes ahead and renews another $10 billion package to ship over on flights of just airplanes full of money, cargo planes full of money. Just like, let me just go send that over to Nazis that the CIA says is too evil to receive billions of dollars. I'm just going to end on that. So that's where we are. It's a genocide. It's a race war. You better have a gun because it's going to end badly.
Code.
That's real.
Yeah, but code it a little bit more. We're going to move on to Dilbert because Dilbert has been going on a little bit of a rant too when it comes to Black folks, of course. Trey, what the hell, Dilbert? Been were you ever a fan of that damn cartoon? I mean, I don't know too much.
I don't think anybody was a fan of Dilbert.
Nobody.
Whoa! Lucifer was a fan. Lucifer was a fan.
Okay.
It's the most like mayonnaise cartoon you could fucking imagine, dog. Like, just it's so damn white, dog. This chalky white, just boring as fuck.
You mean you think it was better than the Boondocks?
Hell no.
Nah, didn't they ban the Boondocks from some of the newspapers out the well?
Jesus, hold on. I didn't read the comic strip in the newspapers. I watched the TV show from when I was a kid, the Dilbert TV show, and I was like, this is pretty sarcastic. I love it.
I didn't know he had a TV show. Nah, I did not know that. I would never watch that. That's why I would never watch your shit like that.
You'd be surprised. It was dry snitching on white capitalism. It was pretty dry snitchy.
Okay.
All right. I mean, that's why you got to bring context to the animation because honestly, I thought it was. I remember seeing Dilbert before, but I never knew. Again, I never knew it was an actual animated cartoon. I just thought it was something you seen in like maybe newspapers or something like that. Or magazine or something.
Oh no, that guy got his money. I used to watch it on Comedy Central back in the day.
Yeah, I think there was some type of poll that they did up between the different races, and they told each race to rate each other race of people, and for everybody it was pretty consistent, but for Black people, I guess they rated white people very bad.
So he said that they're shocked to the Dilbert author somehow.
Yeah, so he said that white people need to just get away from Black people. Just get away. And then after that, it went into some, a white supremacist rant.
Yeah, and if you notice, on a lot of those little threads we've been having, you know, debating the white supremacists on particularly on Asian Don's page, they have, you know, they've idolized his little meme and shit or whatever. So, you know, and they always say, you know, like almost like guess who type of shit, you know. So, I mean, it's some honestly, just like Lou said, it's indicative of propaganda trying to formulate the opinions of onlookers, particularly immigrants, to basically promote some sort of genocidal thoughts or inevitably action. And you just got to see it, you know, for the Hail Mary that it is. You know, it's a desperate attempt to make a devil look like a victim. Dilbert said some shit, you know, about, you know, well, just leave blacks. My whole thing is I live in Atlanta, man. I moved to Atlanta from Kentucky because as an accountant, I hate being around a bunch of people who don't like me and put a bad vibe in my psyche every day. And that's most of the white people I work with. So I moved to Atlanta to be around, you know, other black people, be in a professional setting around, you know, other like-minded people. And Atlanta has been a boom town for about 4 decades now, notably for black people. It's literally called the Black Mecca. And to see such an influx of white people into this, and particularly into Atlanta, and the ironic part about that pattern is their numbers are dwindling everywhere else except for maybe Austin. They're flooding into Austin, Atlanta, and whatnot. But my question is, you're moving into a metropolitan area that is notoriously black. You're flooding into this area, and people are not invited. We do not like you. We call you gentrifiers. We hate seeing y'all downtown. We hate it. We hated seeing y'all coming there. But here your bitch ass is, Dilbert, acting like we want you motherfuckers around and shit. The audacity of them, dude. Just the audacity of them motherfuckers to impose 400 years of unwanted fucking attention from them. Impose that shit onto us. And then turn around and say, well, we should just get away from y'all. Like, what type of sociopathic motherfuckers can y'all possibly be? I mean, to fucking impose your fucking will and make us be around you for 4 centuries. Deny us segregation. Gentrify our motherfucking neighborhoods. And then turn around and say, we should just leave black people. Like, I would smack the shit out of him. Like, for real. Like, it's just like, just what a devil. Just shut the fuck up. Just, I mean, that's just, man.
Oh, well, hold on. Have you guys heard any feedback from those black communities about Dilbert? Like, actually, the Montgomery, Alabama guy and Dilbert at the same week. So every black elder we're talking to should be bringing this up. Like, hey, both these groups are anti-black, right? Are you guys getting that sensation from the grassroots in your area?
I don't even know that people really know who this dude was. I didn't know people cared about Dilbert. That's just me, though. But I do know that his comic strip has been pulled out of newspapers all across the country. I do know that.
Yeah, but they're going to frame that as white people being censored by violent, angry minorities, as they always do. I want to hear the pushback from the black churchgoers. What are they saying about this?
Well, they usually don't say anything, so I wouldn't expect too much out of them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes there's an agenda behind a lot of those these leaderships and these bishops and these churches, and we already know what the game is a lot of times when it comes to them. If it ain't about money half the time, you know, probably likely not to be brought up. Let me transition into Lori Lightfoot or Lori Bigfoot as. Trey, I know you had a lot to say about Miss Lori Bigfoot too. What's going on? What's going on with Auntie?
You know it ain't what they call her, nigga. I don't hear call her what they call her, nigga. They don't call her Bigfoot, nigga. You know what they call her, yeah. Uncle Mammy and Uncle Dykefoot. But, you know, I ain't gonna lie to kids at that. You know, what they call her. But I'ma just say, that bitch, that bug-ass bitch, like that is the epitome of the LGBT waging war against black people. What the fuck that bitch did to Chicago? Just being a black, and Oromo can speak to this too, because he in Chicago.
Yeah.
But this bitch is the face of black political mayoral leadership. And she has made Chicago's name shit in the tenure of her term in office. She has completely made Chicago a shit stain in everybody's mouth. And the fact that many black residents have come to her and asked her about the problems about immigration, about the lack of resources in the highly segregated city of Chicago, and this bitch has snubbed her nose and not helped them at all. But she campaigned as this black. See, that's the thing about these. I'm done with these black politicians. I'm done with them unless they are on that shit. Unless they on some Marcel shit, I'm not fucking with them. I'm not fucking with them because this is what they all do. They're always sponsored by white people to promote bullshit. She stomped harder for LGBT and Latino illegals than for the native blacks to build Chicago and gave it its culture. She's a traitor to the black race, and they should throw eggs at her if they ever see her walking outside, you know, walking about in Chicago. They should throw eggs at the bitch. But that's how I feel.
Roman, what do you think? Amen.
Yeah, I don't know too much about it. I don't like it. I don't know anybody that likes it. I think she's pretty much just does what the other mayors do, like Keisha Bottoms and Eric Adams, whatever the Democrats want them to.
I forgot all about Keisha Bottoms. Oh, man. Exactly. Let me get into her real quick. I know this ain't a topic, but just to relate both of them, this is what they're there to do. They're there to hurt the native black population. Keisha Bottoms it was a rallying call, like I think 2016, to get Keisha Bottoms into the office because Atlanta was turned into a white city. Now, the problem I have with that is this has been a democratically led city for the longest. So for this to even be a problem is bullshit, because it shows that y'all been planning this shit. Y'all teamed up with them white corporations. Y'all went against the interests of black Atlanta to make Atlanta a majority white city now with a lot of fucking immigrants to her. I mean, you go downtown Atlanta, it seems like everything that they gentrify is for immigrants or yuppie white people. Every fucking thing. Unless a nigga's like an athlete or something, you don't see them downtown in the motherfucking 3,000 a month condos and shit. You don't see that shit. You see a bunch of fucking immigrants. And this is what I mean when I'm talking about these black politicians, like damn Keisha Lance Bottoms and Bug-Eyed Lightfoot. You know, this is what they do. They are the Trojan horse for gentrification, a genocide against our people. And it just bugs the fuck out of me that nobody is calling this what it is and treating it with a seriousness. I mean, in all honesty, we should react over gentrification. We should react in a way that they understand that we ain't gonna tolerate that shit. You are displacing us and then calling it a upgrade. I'm like, no. So like I said, Lori Lightfoot is a Trojan horse and she's an enemy to the black community. She's an enemy. And, you know, she should, you know, her and her kind, they should learn a lesson. And, you know, at this point, I think white people have, and also she contributed to a mass exodus of blacks in Chicago. Now, not to say that it started with her, but she heavily contributed to it in the last decade. She heavily contributed to it. Chicago has a mass exodus of black people, a mass exodus.
Yep, so does every city in California. So so where are black people going to go when they start gentrifying the South?
They're coming to the South, and that's what I'm saying. Atlanta is the black exactly. Atlanta is the black capital. And basically, in my opinion, this is something that I'm just kind of on my tinfoil goofy shit. The great migrations that brought black people into the Midwest and West Coast, those were socially engineered. Those were socially engineered to spread a workforce across different regions of the country. That was not some, let's just move. No, they put the train tracks there and said, we need niggas here, there, and there. And I think that this was a 100-year plan or some shit. And now they're setting situations up in those regions that they initially sent us 100 to 50 years ago to bring us back to the South. That's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. This is all social engineering. This isn't natural shit going on.
Yeah, and I think Jason Black calls Keisha Bottoms Keisha Bottom B.
A what? Called her a what?
Keisha Bottom B.
Who did?
Jason Black.
Oh, she called him? What she?
No. He calls her Keisha Bottom B.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
oh. Yeah.
He did much more than that. He put up the billboards. Yeah, right. Everyone forgot about them damn billboards that ruined their careers.
When he was putting those billboards up in those cities, the mayors kept unelected after that.
He ended Kamala Harris. Him, Tariq Nasheed, and Professor Black Truth together ended Kamala Harris. She wasted $30 million running for president, I believe, and she lost because they all came out and said she's a traitor and anti-black, even though she's mixed. I was like, yeah, they not only predicted her racism, they confirmed that they could dismiss her. So, and that was back when he had like 30,000 followers on his YouTube channel. So YouTube has been shadow banning him consistently, just deleting whole channels, making him start over and over and over again. So I'm keeping a very close eye on this because I was helping him crowdfund some of this shit.
Well, let's keep on the...
Yeah, hell happened to this channel? Just on a side note, I mean, did they actually terminate his original channel? Or they just
it's back up. It's back up, but he uploads on his other channel.
So if you're confused about what happened to Lightfoot and how she only got 17% of the vote.
Yeah, that 17% was pretty pathetic.
Oh, man. She's an incumbent. Incumbents get, like, the majority of the vote no matter what they do.
Right.
So that's if that ain't a canary in the coal mine for these black boule and what's about to happen to them, I don't know what is.
She got 17% of the vote? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Nah, who?
As an incumbent.
I mean, what did they think she was going to do? What? Like, I mean, they just picked the goofiest looking motherfucker. Like, this is a change. Like, what the fuck? Just because she looked goofy, you think she's going to make the shit good? Like, what the fuck did she promise?
That's not what I want to know what the platform was.
Hold on. She promised the exact same thing that got the Montgomery, Alabama guy elected. She promised nothing for black people. Right. That's what they're promising.
I think people are starting to wake up on that shit. I mean, you're not promising us nothing. Where's the tangibles? I mean, we're not breaking bread on nothing. We got to start to really see something, start to move here. We got another co-host in here. Bodie finally moved in. Let's keep on the train and let's talk about Chris Rock's stand-up special. Chris Rock did he finally started to speak on the whole Will Smith situation, and he mixed reactions from us, I would say, including Marlon Wayans. Marlon Wayans had a lot to say in defense of Chris Rock. But at the same time, he's known him for a very long time, so I think it's more empathy and the fact that, just that camaraderie of knowing him since he was, 12 or some shit, he said, more than anything. But, what we got to say about Chris Rock, and did anybody see his special on Netflix?
Negative on Lou Sulfur. That guy's a c- I labeled him a traitor like a year back. Guy.
Did you see it, Trey?
Hell no.
Well, who wanted to talk about it? I could have sworn I didn't bring
it. It was the thing about the reason why I consciously didn't watch it, because I've heard other people talk about it. And what they've said is he's throwing black people under the bus. I don't fuck with people. For one, I don't fuck with people who joke on Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson was a general in a race war, and he was a general in the entertainment industry. So if you're going to be a bitch nigga and down our generals, you know, just to impress these white motherfuckers who hated him, fuck you. That's right off the bat. So, no, I'm not watching it. Just out back of that. So, you know, but also everybody has talked about that he just rags on black people. He's talking about shit, talking about my mama said, he said, for one, they said, well, credit to Chris Rock, he did it live. Everybody does it, you know, but anyway, but they said he fucked up the last joke because he was so mad talking about the Will Smith shit that he fucked up the last joke. And the last joke was basically saying, and my mama said, never fight in front of white people. That's why he didn't smack Will Smith back. And I'm just like, but you, this big, like, nigga, this big fucking confession about black people, the white people, like, nigga, shut the fuck up. Like, I hate niggas like that, dog. Like, just, I'm gonna air the laundry out in front of everybody. Like, shut your clown ass up, you bitch nigga. Like, damn. Just like, that's so annoying, dog. He's doing everything to impress white people. And keep in mind, this is the same nigga who let that redhead white boy say nigger with the hard R in front of him, and he sat there and ain't say shit like a good boy. So it's a perpetual bitch assness in dude that just makes me just
repeatedly too. It's more than once.
Repeatedly. And hold on, I'm about to go into my my place where my Wi-Fi is. I'm about to transition from my car. But I got some more shit I want to say about that and just the whole Will Smith shit in general. Because ain't nobody even talking about some basic shit about that situation. But here, all right.
Repeatedly. Oh, shit.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, the comedians, and I don't know their name because I only knew the one white guy there who had the show. That unfunny show, that dry-ass comedic show. Used to come on in the 90s or something, I think. I can't think of it. But he was the only person.
Hold on. I saw the one where Jerry Seinfeld was the only one who didn't say the N-word. Yeah, okay, Jerry Seinfeld was the only one who didn't say the N-word because he knew
right,
better.
Okay, that's what it was. Right. He was the only person to not say it. So that's what I'm saying repeatedly, because the other two or three said it.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais was there. Like, everyone knows he's a white supremacist, and Chris Rock sat there and let him say the N-word. I was like, oh, all my red flags went off. I was like, shit.
Yeah, nah. And that was never going to be cool for me to stand by and see. To stand by and just let them repeatedly say that over and over again, live on television at that, too. I mean, goodness damn, how much of a fucking Sambo could you look like? I mean, he looked worse than he did in that cover, looking like he was, they dressed him as a clown on the cover of a magazine. Was it Vogue? What was it? I don't know. Cover of a magazine.
Well, hold on. My brain just made a connection here.
Yeah.
That show Chris Rock was producing, Everybody Hates Chris, the comedy show about his childhood or something.
Right.
He was the main actor in there is Terry Crews, another coon who's anti-black. So birds of a feather are literally flocking together on where they put their money. Remember, everyone know Terry Crews, right?
Yeah. Terry Crews definitely had his moments where you're looking at him with a side eye. Of course, I can't think of him off top because I try not to really pay attention to him after a certain point. So it's just like whatever. But
yeah, I don't want to ask you to repeat yourself, but I mean, another thing about the whole Chris Rock thing ain't nobody talking about. Now, I don't know where a lot of these niggas is from, but bruh, everybody keep talking about Will Smith. I ain't supporting Will Smith no more. He hit Chris. My nigga, if your wife is with you
or your girl is with you and you are out in public and somebody talks about her. I don't know no nigga who's just going to sit there and be like, ha, 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 he got you, baby. And you see her like crying and shit. It's just, I don't know. I think given the fact that four or five years prior to that incident, Chris Rock had clowned the fuck out of Jada Pinkett Smith because she was basically boycotting the Oscars because it was basically all white people winning and nominating awards and shit. You know, so she was like, man, I think she started the Oscar So White trend or something like that. And so Chris Rock got on stage like, nobody asked you because you wasn't fucking invited. And, you know, that was a joke at her expense or whatever. So Will was like, all right, you said that, dude. All right, whatever, I'm gonna brush that off. But then they finally come to the motherfucker. And then they over there chilling and you gonna do the same thing. It's like, bro, I don't know, bro. He need to get smacked the fuck out of, in my opinion. Because he just did it to impress white people. You know, when you look at his character, exactly. Everything he does is to impress whites. Everything.
Yeah, I've never found his comedy that funny. I'm like, he reminds me of Kevin Hart. So I'm like, why do people laugh at Kevin Hart? His jokes are not jokes, and they're black people's expense.
He's a minstrel to a
we're not going to compare him to that, no damn Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart don't display the same kind of coonery as no damn Chris Rock.
He's just saying that he's from Philly, but Kevin Hart is damn Bodie, you still connecting? But Kevin Hart, he puts his people on. I'll say that about Kevin Hart.
Yep. Well,
Never heard nobody say nothing about, you know, Kevin Hart greedy. Now, I heard little comedian beefs and shit like that. But that's comedian beefs. But, you know, as far as like the everyday person, I will say this. Now, while I'm not a fan of Kevin Hart's comedy.
Yeah.
I'll say that she gave me a free cake.
Who? A black woman?
Hell yeah, man. She gave me a look. I went to my little Jamaican spot.
Oh, Jamaican?
Hell yeah, man. See, she liked me up there. She gave me a look. My bad, I got the strike.
Yeah, I just got into a little Twitter joint with it.
Okay, well, you said Kevin Hart puts his people on, but so did Chris Rock. He put Terry Crews on. So, and then Terry Crews, furthermore, Terry Crews ties directly into Tyler Perry. All three of these people are anti-black survival.
You can't give examples in the same vein between the two, is what I'm trying to say.
What you mean?
The same thing Chris Rock is doing, there is no comparison of what Kevin Hart has displayed in his history.
Kevin Hart was in all those white guy, what was it, buddy cop films, they call him, I think. Okay. Like he's always playing the minstrel character in all his movies. So I'm like, oh, he's perpetuating a minstrel stereotype. Awesome. So I was like, yeah, I've been side-eyeing that guy his whole career. I'm like, damn. So he's not trying at all.
He did that on his come up.
I would say about Kevin Hart, I will say, and Lou, I know exactly what you're talking about, because for a minute, I gave him a listen because the media just hyped him up like he was just the next Corey Holcomb or Eddie Murphy or something. And I tried, but I never laughed at his, like, even his stand-ups.
Listen, I agree with you. And everybody know I'm from Philly. But, again, if we're talking about the topic of some comparison of competing for coonery on the same level on some Chris Rock shit, absolutely not. I can't agree with that shit.
Hold on. I'm about to post a screenshot of the Google search on Kevin Hart's movie profile pictures. It's hilarious. It's literally a minstrel show.
We'll get into Kevin Hart. Let me move on to the next topic, too. On some positive note, we are looking at a possible buy or purchase of BET from Tyler Perry.
Right.
How are we going to elaborate? Can we elaborate?
Wanted, yeah, that's why I wanted to segue into our back of that since Lou bought up Tyler Perry. I'm optimistic because I've Tyler Perry puts people on. We know that. We know. Hell, even Tariq be trying to get on Tyler Perry's good side. You know. But we know how. But we know how he came up. And if you really, really remember, he was doing plays before he did movies. He was doing. He was
everybody circuit, did, right?
What you say?
The Chitlin circuit.
He Chitlin circuited the fuck out of them plays. Everybody had his plays on bootleg. Everybody. Yeah. But see, that was genius though, because see what that did is that created a longing for a potential audience. So when he made that first movie,
right,
with
it was free promo.
Hey, so he and the niggas a billionaire.
Made him a household name. All that bootleg made him a household name because it was free promo during that time, and it was a success story. Obviously,
he targeted that church audience. Boy, he's a genius, boy. Yeah. He targeted that old black lady church audience who watch his shit non fucking stop. You know, but so Tyler Perry is a marketing genius, and we see it in the end result because he's a billionaire with his own, you know, $1 billion studio in it. I think his studio is worth $1 billion in Atlanta. You know, he has another big. So, yeah. I mean, you know, this is a very wealthy man, and he's come up in the last 20 years. That was less than 20 years ago when them fucking plays was on the circuit. Less than 20 years ago.
Hold on. I got a question about these plays. Positive black empowerment for black males or youth has his plays promoted? Because everything I've been shown has been minstrel show and anti-black and very toxic. So it's very successful. If you're selling to white people, it's going to be making billions. I want to know what it's done to help black people.
I'll say his plays, they were entertainment. So his plays were just entertainment. That's just all it was. Hold on.
The universal rule is all art is propaganda.
Right.
Lou, we are bringing back BET to a black owner, all right? F all that other bullshit. It's going back to
Melanated owner. I have a higher standard for black. I use the ancient standard for black. He's melanated. He is not black.
He is FBA. And
He's of the FBA lineage, but he is not black. He is melanated FBA.
And I don't mind seeing Tyler Perry bring BET back to where it should be.
That's the only thing. That's the only thing.
And I think he's going to hire a whole lot of more black people.
BET was never good. It was never good.
But listen, he's going to hire more people back in front of the screen. Behind the scenes and in front of the scenes is what he
wants. Yes. Yeah, but we got to be more politically discerning than that. He's going to hire
Chris Rock. What is that doing? That is building generational wealth.
Hold on.
Because he pays them well. He doesn't have a reputation of backstabbing or undermining under the table.
Tyler Perry? Hold on. We're talking about Tyler Perry, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Tyler Perry's been hostile and anti-black male since his career blew up. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about as far as building towards that financial backing that we have towards us as well. You can talk about some of the negatives. There's always going to be negatives. You can probably point out with certain people. He's building back what we should be getting back into, which is owning our own shit.
Okay, but hold on. Check this out. I posted a list in the Indigenous chat here. Got Kevin Hart, got Tyler Perry, got The Rock, got Drake. Okay, if Tyler Perry gives all the money to just that list of people, black people are still going to be genocided. None of those people are pro-black. They're melanated, but they're not pro-black. Therefore, they can't have the black card. That's not a thing.
He doesn't hire a lot of unknown stars now. And he's put on a lot of people who we didn't know of a few years ago. So
have we researched
that small role to The Rock? We haven't seen The Rock since in his movies. Let's be clear.
Yeah, the Rock is out here cooning, doing his own minstrel shows, just like Kevin Hart. I can Google his filmography. It's the same thing. Him boot up with a white family every single movie.
Well, I mean, he was going to have a black family.
But this is what the new black media is telling us to discern. Like, these people are not pro-black. Like, they do not want more black children on this earth, period. They're putting white people at top positions in all of their films to promote that propagandistic image. It's like, hey, I'm rich, I'm successful, and I'm black. Here's my white family. Here's my white buddy. Like, that's the whole purpose of minstrel shows. It's literally the purpose of them. It's like, elevate white people above blacks. Mejor la raza. Put them above blacks at all times. Like, it's transparent. It's been going on for centuries. Why are we still saying Tyler Perry is a black ally? He is not. He is LGBTQ. And then occasionally he'll say, oh, I might also be melanated. It's like, wow, that's his whole career. It's like he puts black men into dresses and says they have to be okay with that in all his movies that I've seen. It's like, you just got to accept me in my trans outfit. I'm like, cool, show me a strong, positive black role model. Nope, I can show you a black wife beater. I can show you that three more times in three other films. I'm like, oh, so he hates black men, the foundational unit of every black family across the planet. Cool. He's anti-black. I take away his black card.
Hey, I can't argue against that, man. I mean, he made his mark, and you know, many people have critiqued it. So, hey, can't argue against that
one. Yeah, hold on. By the way, it was black women who showed me his movies. So every opportunity, they're pushing this onto black men. Here's how you have to be a unit to not be offensive to white people. Wear dresses. Play around lipstick and jewelry. Don't be so macho. Don't be so masculine. Black masculinity is toxic. That's black women taking his propaganda and pushing into my black male face every opportunity. So I can see the agenda in real life that is anti-black. So don't get me confused here. Like, this is bad. This is all red flags everywhere.
All right, that's enough about Tyler Perry. Let's talk about the real star in the room. Let's talk about Bodie, bring your ass up onto speaker. Well, you are here, but go ahead. We're going to talk about you at the California reparations, John. Go ahead. Let's speak about your context to the situation. What went on there?
California reparations.
Bodie is in the meeting. Matrix. His whole thing is. Oh, is he speaking right now?
Yeah, I hear him. Yeah.
Oh, my bad, Bodie. My bad. I can't hear shit. Let me leave and come back.
Look at that FBHA, ruining everything as usual. he can't hear me, so I can say that. But it was a weekend or two prior to this, and essentially they were going to vote on whether they wanted to have a real agency, right, called the California Freedmen and Affairs Agency, or if they want to have a supervisory committee, a external report card body, a watchdog, right, that writes a letter to organizations about how racist they are or how ineffectual they are or how effective they are, right? Excuse my background. I'm surrounded by black people. But, and so, you know, I went to the task force and I, you know, recommended that, you know, you have a real agency. And you...
Hold on, repeat what you just said. It kind of broke up.
The issue facing black Americans is that, you know, we're constantly infantilized, constantly told...
Mm-hmm.
We can't handle our own affairs, right? Constantly, denied humanity, denied control of our destiny. And so to destroy the Freedmen's Bureau before it even starts, right? And say, oh, no, it's too wonky. It's too big. It's too bureaucratic when Native Americans have their Bureau of Indian Affairs and you have an Office of New Immigrants. But you can't have services for descendants of enslaved people, even though you're for reparations. And so we have to get into why a pro-reparationist would say or do something like that.
Now, who was the woman you were confronting also in the video?
You know, I don't assign genders to people, but the person I was confronting was Cheryl Grills. She is a NARC agent, literally. NARC, if you're not familiar with them, they're the National African American Reparations Commission, and they are a nightmare when it comes to lineage-based reparations for black Americans. And the thing is this, is that lineage-based, you know, whether you agree with it or not, is the only viable way to pass a policy like that. Race-based policies are dead. We're going to learn that if we haven't learned that already with the Supreme Court decision that's coming up this June or July about affirmative action. Race-based policies are over. And so NARC, in wanting and wanting to have a Peter Pan African form of reparations, right? And being desperate to have that, they're willing to do anything. And so Cheryl Grills was willing to throw 2 million Black Americans under the bus, so 100,000 or so Black immigrants living in California can benefit from reparations, even though their ancestors weren't enslaved by the United States. So what she said was this, it's like, hey, look, if I get rid of the Freedmen's Affairs Bureau, right, then reparations is going to be handled by a whole bunch of nonprofits. And nonprofits aren't lineage-based. These community-based organizations aren't lineage-based. And she also has many friends in these organizations, friends who just in the past year with the reparations task force, she funneled $500,000 to. Now, that was her job. That's what she's supposed to do as head of the communications committee. But those people have done none of the work they were supposed to do. And she's done nothing to hold them to account. She doesn't care about the 500,000. And then on top of that, you have another million from this communications committee. And people, you know, as we saw, you know, as they testified in front of the task force, haven't heard anything about reparations, haven't been engaged, contacted, nothing, right? I believe it's called like Caleb or some sort of communications firm. They literally put out a tweet 2 times a week, and this is what they claim they were boasting about. And how much engagement do those tweets get? 1 or 2 people? I mean, I've seen their flyers. Their flyers for events have the wrong dates on them. This is low effort. This is the result of cronyism. It's the result of Cheryl Grills giving money to her friends and saying, well, I don't really care what you do with it. And that's exactly what we could have expected if she got her way and destroyed this bureau and instead replaced them with community-based nonprofit organizations.
And you are talking about the fact that about the absence of that $500,000 that was funneled, and nobody has a clue as to, you know, what's being done with said money.
More or less. So, like, for example, there are some anchor organizations. So anchor organizations are supposed to engage the community on reparations, okay? There are some anchor organizations such as CJAC, California's for Justice and Equity, right, who did do the work, and they have a track record for that. But the vast majority of the 10 organizations paid between $40,000 and $50,000 each. They cannot account for what they did with that money. They cannot account. So if there is an investigation, which there should be consequences. And the consequences shouldn't just go on the organizations. It should go on the person who was responsible for doling this out, communicating with these people, telling them what they needed to do with it. So I'll leave it there.
And what was your recent praise for Camilla Moore?
On the previous meeting, they voted 7-2, right? And so what they were voting on, they don't even know. This is what happens a lot of times when it comes to these task force, right? These people, they have their lives, right? I mean, they're just living their lives. And they get distracted. And so they voted 7-2 to kill the Freedmen's Bureau, okay? They didn't know that, though. And so the next meeting, they're like, wait, what? What did we do? And so despite the fact that you had people like Lisa Holder and Cheryl Grills fighting to the death to make sure that it stayed dead, Camilla Moore forced them to change their votes by talking about how we need to hear the voices of the descendant community, by talking about how it's ridiculous to have a double standard for Black Americans, that you don't apply to Native Americans, that you don't apply to new Americans, right? And so at that point, they're like, well, yeah, we are reparationists, right? So we should put these people in charge of their own repair, and we shouldn't rely on random governmental agencies to do it, right? There should be an agency specifically dedicated to the repair of Black Americans that's going to handle the programs. Yes, it can do oversight, but that's not it, right? Repair is more than just oversight and writing a letter to people about how racist they are. I don't know what that does for us.
Brody, can you explain what the Freedmen's Bureau is and why we need it? Why would it be a benefit?
I will, and then I will have to go. So the Freedmen's Bureau, historically, the Freedmen's Bureau was a bureau created. Technically, it was called the Bureau for Freedmen, refugees and abandoned lands. And so what it was created by radical Republicans to sort of address and assuage the problem of integrating people who were formerly enslaved into the fabric of the United States, because they didn't have clothing, they didn't know how to read, they didn't know how to write, they've been deprived of that for so long. So how do we reintegrate them to society to give them a lasting chance? And so within 7 years, the Freedmen's Bureau accomplished things like bringing up the black literacy up from zero to like 30-something-odd%, right? But they were sabotaged along the way. People cut their funding. They had their own courts. They had their own banks. They had their own schools. And so that was the vision that people laid out for Reconstruction in America, and it never happened. And so when people talk about the California Freedmen's Agency, we are talking about maybe not starting your own colleges, but certainly making sure that Black Americans don't have to worry about the cost of college or the cost of any sort of secondary education, even if that's a vocational school. That should be covered, right? These people should be given opportunity, right? Opportunities that they were denied for generations. So that's, we're talking about land grants, right? We're talking about grants to start businesses. We're talking about an agency that literally will be able to fight piecemeal wise, right? So that means case by case, such as Bruce Beach, for reparations. You know, I have ancestors, family members, really, I should say, who were a part of the Port Chicago disaster in California, right? They tried to have black people work on ships that they knew were dangerous. And when the ships exploded, they're like, oops, you know, right? But incidences like that in Bruce Beach, you'll have the Freedmen's Bureau to look to litigate that and to fight so that people get the restitution that they deserved in every way possible.
All right. Well, definitely, Bodie, we salute you. But you better get your ass up out of here, because you know we about to get into that American Maroon, and you know how you are about that shit.
I think it's time for me to go.
Hold on. Bodie has already
skated. Listen, he already skated up out of here.
He already fled?
Yes. He already knew it was coming.
What? Yeah. Oh, hell no. I've been waiting 3 weeks to tear him a brand new asshole.
Find full episodes of the podcast featuring Straight Facts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, check out our Instagram for more Maroc Oris content, including the shop and our subscription service for exclusives. Peace, Mer. I'm on Maroc.